This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Find out. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they take time to reflect and contemplate on the creation of the heavens and earth. And they conclude, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَعْدِ. My Lord, you do not create all of this without a purpose. سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Glory be to you, protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. These two verses are full of so many lessons. You could literally write an entire book on just these two verses. But I just want to focus on one of the qualities that Allah mentions in this verse about being the quality of an intelligent person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who are intelligent, those who are true believers to be from amongst those who يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They contemplate the heavens and the earth. They contemplate the creation of the heavens and earth. This quality, tafakkur, contemplation, is our theme for today. What does it mean to contemplate? And how do we do this? And how does this fit in with our religion? In the simplest meaning of the word tafakkur or contemplation is that contemplation means to think deeply. To take a long period of time to sit and think deeply about a topic. That's the most simplest definition of tafakkur. That you just take your time and you sit and you think and you think and you think deeply about a topic. And we live in a time where people are too busy and too distracted to contemplate on anything. We are constantly connected. We are on social media all day long. If you're not on social media, we are streaming. If you're not streaming, we're entertaining ourselves with video games. We are always connected, and now we connect to multiple devices at the same time. So it's not surprising to see a young person today watching something on one device or playing a game on another device or chatting to someone on a third device. And they do this constantly from the time we wake up till we go to sleep. We don't give our brains time to think. We don't give our minds time to develop. We don't give ourselves a chance to develop deeper thoughts. Because we are always connected to the internet, we are always connected to other people, and this is not natural. It is not natural to be connected to people all the time. You know, we need to be balanced. There's two extremes. One extreme is total isolation, where you don't talk to people, you don't interact with people, you're just to yourself. The other extreme is where you're connected and you're with people all the time. We need balance. We need a social life, but we also need time alone. And we need time to focus on our thoughts. And we need time to sit and to think and to develop more mature, more structured, more deeper thoughts. This is really the primary goal of contemplation. That your thinking becomes deeper. Your thinking becomes more structured. Your thinking becomes more mature. And you'll notice the difference between someone who makes time daily to think deeply and someone who does not, in the quality of the thoughts that they talk about, the quality of what they bring to the table. So what does this have to do with Islam? It has everything to do with Islam. This is a quality that's highlighted over and over and over again in the Quran. And even in the seerah, I'll just give one example from the seerah that shows the importance of contemplation. Where did the Prophet ﷺ receive the first revelation? Where was he when he received the first revelation of Iqra? In the cave of Hira. What was he doing in a cave? This is a businessman from the city. What was he doing in the cave? He would go every day to that cave, or rather he would go for long periods of time to that cave to sit and contemplate. To sit and think deeply about the problems of society, about the purpose of life, about what he's going to do with his life. He would go and sit in the cave and just sit and think. That means it is sunnah to carve out time, to sit alone in a place where there's no distractions and to just sit and think. This is the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he kept this up after he received the first revelation as well. We know there are many occasions where he would just go to the masjid and sit and think, right? Where he would like disappear from society and just sit and think. This is his method, this is the method of the early Muslims. But the Quran especially gives us so many encouragements to sit and think. So many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon us to contemplate. He calls upon us to think deeply. I'll give you a few examples. In Surah Rum, and we discussed this verse a few weeks ago, when Allah talks about marriage, and He talks about love, He calls upon us to contemplate that that the very existence of marital love is a proof of the existence of God. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. From His signs, from the signs of the existence of Allah, is that He created for you spouses that you find peace in each other's company. And He placed love and mercy between your hearts. How did Allah end the verse? He ends the verse by saying, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That in this, in the existence of marital love, there are signs for who? For قَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, for people who think deeply, for people who contemplate. In another verse, in Surah Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the process of the soul leaving the body when we are sleeping and the soul leaving the body when we die. And He compares these two experiences, the minor death that we experience every day sleeping and the major death, the day our soul will leave our body and will never return. And Allah ends this verse again by saying, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. In this, in sleep and death, there are signs for those who think deeply. Again, the word tafakkur is mentioned. Even when describing the Quran itself, in the verse that we discussed last week, Surah Sa'd, verse 29, how does Allah describe the Quran? كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكًا لِيَتَدَبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَدَبَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. A book that we reveal to you that is Mubarak, it has barakah in it, it is blessed. What are you supposed to do with this book? What are you supposed to do with the Quran? لِيَتَدَبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ. You are supposed to think deeply about its verses. You are supposed to reflect on its verses. You are supposed to contemplate its verses. وَلِيَتَدَبَّرُ أُولَى الْأَلْبَابِ. So that intelligent people can receive reminders. So that intelligent people can benefit from it. Again, notice this trend throughout the Quran. Whenever Allah talks about thinking deeply, He always links it with His signs and He always links it with intelligence. Intelligent people think deeply about the signs of Allah. This is a message that's consistent throughout the Quran. And I'll give one more verse that shows the importance of contemplation. In Surah An-Kabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when we travel, what we see of the world when we travel, we should contemplate about the greatness of Allah. When we see the world, when you see the diversity of Allah's creation, you see the diversity of cultures and languages and different regions and different natures and different things all over the world, you should contemplate on that. Allah says, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقَ. Travel through the earth and look at how Allah created everything. Travel through the earth and look at how Allah created everything and realize that Allah is going to do it again, meaning the resurrection. Right? So all of these verses, whether about traveling, whether about marriage, whether about sleep, all of them call on us to do one thing. Think deeply. Tafakkur, contemplation, deep thinking. This is an important part of being a Muslim. This is an important part of being a believer. This is what separates ulul albab, the intelligent believers, from everybody else. So today I'm going to share with you three simple things. Number one, what are the benefits of tafakkur, of contemplation? Number two, what are the different types of deep thinking in Islam? And number three, a few tips on how to do this. So let's start with the benefits. Why should we make time to just sit and think? Why should we make time to sit and reflect, to contemplate? Number one, the number one benefit of contemplation, it unlocks deeper thoughts. A lot of people today can only do surface level thinking because they don't ever take the time to develop their minds. The more time you spend thinking deeply, the deeper thoughts you unlock from your own mind. The more you are able to understand things on a much deeper level. And this can be anything, whether it can be the Quran, the Hadith, history, but it can even be your own life, your own self, it can even be your own goals, it can even be your own mistakes that you made in life. To sit and reflect on this and to grow from this and to be mature from this, this is one of the benefits of contemplation. Another benefit of contemplation is to confront the darkness within us and to work on it. And nowadays when I tell young people about the importance of thinking deeply, one of the most common objections I get is, I don't like the thoughts that come to my mind when I'm alone. I don't like the thoughts I have to deal with, so I'm going to distract myself so those thoughts don't come in. That's the wrong approach. If you're not dealing with these thoughts, then they are staying in your heart and they are going to affect you at some point. The correct approach as a Muslim is to confront the darkness with it. Every single one of us has a nafsu ammara bisu, a portion of the soul that commands you towards evil. Every one of us has this within us. We have within us a portion of our soul that commands towards evil. You have to confront it. You have to deal with it. You have to acknowledge it. You need to know what your weaknesses are. You need to know what your trigger points are. You need to know what causes you to slip into sin. And you cannot do this if you do not think deeply. You cannot do this if you are afraid of your own thoughts. You have to confront the darkness with them. And that takes us to the third benefit of contemplation. If you spend a lot of time thinking deeply, you will understand yourself better. You will know yourself better. Many people today don't even know their own selves. They don't know their own strengths, their own weaknesses, their own goals. They don't know what they want to do with their life. They're just following what the media tells them to do. They've never taken time to actually get to know themselves. And that's one of the benefits of the Fakhr, is you get to know yourself by sitting and thinking and having an internal conversation with yourself. Another benefit of contemplation is that you learn important life lessons. One of the best things you can do for yourself, especially if you are young, is that every time you mess up in life, and you will mess up in life, every time you make a mistake, especially if it's a major mistake, take time to reflect on that mistake and learn a life lesson from it. This will become invaluable life experience. If you just take the time to sit back and say, what went wrong? What did I do wrong? What can I learn from this? How can I avoid this mistake in the future? This is one of the best things you can do for yourself. Another benefit of deep thinking is it can help us make better decisions. Instead of making rash decisions, instead of making decisions on impulse, instead of making decisions just on, you know, how we're feeling today, you can actually take the time to assess something properly and make a better decision. And most importantly, the main benefit of deep thinking is to connect you with your spiritual side and to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because tafakkur is an act of worship that is meant to bring you closer to Allah. That the more deeper you think, the more you connect with the Creator, the more you connect with your spiritual side, the more you are able to understand the Quran, the more you are able to see the benefits of the Quran in your own life. So these are six benefits of contemplation. Now I also want to mention four of the main types of contemplation that all of us should engage in. Now if you actually study the books on this topic, there's a lot more than four. So for example, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah lists like 8 or 10 different types of deep thinking. Right? But I'm just going to give four because these are the basics. These are the four everyone should be doing in their lives. Number one, the most general version is tafakkur. Right? Tafakkur, which is mentioned in all these verses that we quoted today, is the more general term of contemplation. And we said tafakkur simply means to take time to sit and think deeply for a period of time. That you spend 30 minutes to an hour thinking deeply. And this is general. This can apply to anything. To just sit and think deeply about the mistakes you have made, about your own faults, about your plans, your goals, about anything. Even it could just be a historical incident that you're sitting and thinking about. It could be a hadith that you're sitting and thinking about. Just in general, taking time to sit and think deeply, this is called tafakkur. This is something everyone should be doing. But there are more specific forms of deep thinking that we all should be engaging in. One of them we discussed last week, and that is tadabbur. Tadabbur is mentioned in the Quran, specifically referring to the Quran. Whenever the word tadabbur is mentioned in the Quran, it is referring to the Quran. When Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not think deeply about the Quran? Do they not reflect on the Quran? So this is a specific type of deep thinking. That tafakkur is general, tadabbur is specific to the Quran. And this simply means that you take a verse from the Quran, a passage from the Quran, a story from the Quran, and you reflect on how it applies to your life. How you can grow from this verse, how you can improve from this verse, how this verse can make you a better person. Then you connect your heart to that verse by taking time to think about that verse deeply. The third type of contemplation that we all should be engaging in often is muhasaba. Muhasaba, self-accountability. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, حَاسَبُ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُ. Hold yourself to account before the day when you are held to account. What is muhasaba? Muhasaba means thinking about your own faults. Holding yourself accountable. Telling yourself, I messed up. I committed a sin today. Okay, let me sit and think. What led to this sin? How can I avoid it in future? You know, what do I need to do to repent for this sin? then you hold yourself accountable. You know what your sins are, you know what your weaknesses are, you know what your mistakes are, you know what your trigger points are, you know what causes you to fall into those sins, you know how to avoid them, and you have inspiration to do istighfar and tawbah and to try and be better. Muhasabah is crucial. It's something we should be doing all the time. And the fourth type of contemplation and deep thinking that we should be doing as often as possible is muraqabah. What is muraqabah? Muraqabah, which is often translated as mindfulness, muraqabah actually means connecting your heart to Allah, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what muraqabah is all about. When you sit and you think about who Allah is and what is your relationship with Allah, and you reflect on the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah and on your own relationship with Allah and whether you are close to Allah or not. Muraqabah is often done during dhikr, where you are sitting and you are saying Alhamdulillah, 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 and you are thinking specifically about the things you are grateful for. This is muraqabah, where while remembering Allah, you are connecting your heart to Allah and you are thinking deeply about Allah. And so these are the four types of contemplation that we should bring into our lives. We should make time for deep thinking. Specifically, we should make time for deep thinking about the Quran, about our mistakes, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this is beneficial, and all of this is sunnah, and all of this is from ibadah, is from the acts of worship. And all of these things help us to grow into better versions of ourselves. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So I'm going to share with you very quickly five tips on how to do deep thinking. And really this is common sense. You don't need someone to teach you this, but nowadays it doesn't seem to be such common sense anymore. Just share with you an anecdote about this. A lot of young people are telling me about a book. They're like, this book's amazing. It's life-changing, right? And that book is called Deep Work by, I think, Carl Newport, right? So I got the book and I read it. And I'm like, this is common sense. This is obvious. Like, we've been doing this our whole lives. Why are the young people saying this is so amazing and groundbreaking? The book tells you stuff like, don't be on social media. Make time for deep thinking. Make time for moment joy. I'm like, this is common sense. And I realize it's not common sense to the younger generation. That the younger generation are raised in a world where social media always existed. They are raised in a world where the internet is always around them. And many of them have never actually thought about disconnecting. So they see this to be groundbreaking knowledge, even if for the older people, this is how we've always lived our lives. So yes, I'll share a few tips, and you'll find these tips are found in that book, and they're also found in Islamic works as well. And so that means number one, if you want to think deeply about anything, please disconnect from the internet. Even if it's for 30 minutes, even if it's for 1 hour, if you really want to develop deeper and stronger thoughts, do not have any internet around you at all. Completely disconnect. And you can do this in many ways, right? But I'll leave it to you to figure out how to do it. But make sure you are not connected to the internet at that time, because you will be distracted. And that takes me to point number two. To think deeply, cut out all distractions. All distractions, be in a place where there are no distractions. This is why in general, historically, people would do contemplation in the masjid or in nature. Right? This is like the two places. People either will sit in a masjid and sit and think deeply, or they will take a walk in the park and we say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go to the cave of Hira, right? Then they will go somewhere isolated, where there's no distractions. No one's going to walk in you and start yapping with you. No one's going to start, you know, a conversation. No one's going to distract you. You can just sit and think for a long period of time. So find a place where there's no distractions and choose to be in that place for the next 30 minutes to 1 hour. Number three, carve out time alone. Make time for this. We have very busy lives these days. People's lives are just moving from one thing to another. You have to make time for deep thinking. If you don't make time for deep thinking, it's never going to happen. So you need to tell yourself the next 30 minutes, I'm not doing any work, I'm not looking at social media, I'm not doing anything except thinking. You need to make that time. And it's something you should try to do daily. Really, deep thinking is something you should try to do daily. It benefits your work, it benefits your studies, it benefits your growth as a person, it benefits your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it benefits your relationship with the Quran. You should make time to do it daily. So, carve out time, cut out distractions, disconnect from the internet. Number four, decide what is your method. What are you doing today? Are you reflecting on a verse of the Quran? Are you reflecting on a mistake that you made? Are you reflecting on the important goal of your life and how you're going to achieve it? What exactly do you plan to do with that time? Don't go into that time without a plan. Don't plan that at 11 a.m. I'm going to do half an hour of deep thinking, and then 11 a.m. comes and you're not sure what you're going to think about, and you end up thinking about cartoons and video games and everything besides what you should be thinking about. Have a plan. Have something specific. Today I'm going to think about this, and I'm going to find a solution to this, or I'm going to grow from this, or I'm going to learn from this. And you focus on that for that amount of time. And there are ways to do this, right? So you could do dhikr, you could recite Quran, or if you get good at it, you can literally just sit and close your eyes and go into your inner world. And finally, that's the final point, number five, find a way to concentrate. Figure out what works for you. Find a way to concentrate. And sadly, you know, now one of the problems of the modern world that the internet has caused is low attention spans. Right? Everybody got ADHD these days, thanks to TikTok. Right? Everybody can't concentrate these days. This practice of contemplation will train you to concentrate better. It will train you to focus better. It's what you need to solve that problem. Many young people don't need medication. They just need to learn how to concentrate, how to focus. That's what we need to do. So start with something small. Start with 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes, and then grow it. You should at least reach a level in your life where you can sit for 30 minutes alone in your thoughts and focus on your thoughts. That's when you know you are able to excel at life. And you can use that to focus on other things as well. But nonetheless, in the beginning, you might find it hard to concentrate. There's a few tips on how you can do that. Obviously, get rid of your distractions. But you can sit with your eyes closed. You can sit with a pen and paper so you can focus and write down your thoughts. You could take a walk in nature, right? You could focus on your breath, like you can do deep breathing and focus on your breath. You can do zikr and focus on the zikr. There are many ways to do this. I highly recommend getting some books or articles on this topic to understand it deeper. Understand that this is key. This is key between being just a regular Muslim and being from Ulul Albab, the people of intellect. Every time in the Quran when Allah talks about Ulul Albab, the intelligent believers, the people of deep intellect, He always links it to the faqir, to people who think deeply, people who make time to think deeply. We must make time for deep thought. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, it doesn't matter whether you are a student or somebody who's working, it doesn't matter what stage of life you are at, everybody should have time for deep thinking. And everybody should make time for deep thinking, and everybody should develop this quality, because this will help you grow into the best version of yourself. This will help you to achieve your goals in dunya wa akhirah. This will help you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will help you to be more confident. It will help you to be a better version of yourself. Really, there's no end to the benefits of deep thinking. So let us all become from those who are deep thinkers. We ask Allah to allow us to benefit from the Quran and His message. We ask Allah to make us from those who are ulul albab and from those who are true believers. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Aqimish salah.